But here's the other thing I want you to see. So that takes care of the criminal, the crime. But what happened was this, is that when Jesus took you in his person to the place of execution, you were crucified with Christ, the penalty was paid for. Done. In England, I think even still, like if somebody's executed, or back when they still executed people, and if it was like George Smith was executed, they would put a sign out on the gate of the prison, the words, "It is finished." The same words in Scripture. You can't condemn him anymore. You can't do anything to George Smith anymore. There's no more penalty for him to pay. He's paid it all. He's now free from condemnation. But you see, what Jesus did, he not only put the fires out, but Jesus then, look again what he says in verse 10, "For the death that he died to sin." Not just for sin, but he died to sin. And in his person, when he took you to the place of execution, and that Chuck Jones paid for his sin in the person of Jesus, then he took Chuck Jones, the slave to sin, and buried him with him. Because his history is my history. And that Chuck Jones, the slave to sin, was left in the grave. And a whole new creation was raised up with Jesus, uniting with him in his resurrection, so that now he's my life, and I can experience newness of life. In other words, what is the issue you struggle with? Is it anger? Jesus died to your anger. And in his person, you died in him to that anger. Your particular version of anger. He took you personally to the cross, not just us corporately. If it's control, whatever the sin is, his victory, he died to that. He took all that on himself. Your personal sins, your personal kind of sins, the personality type of your sins, the flavor of your sins, not just anger, but your kind of anger. He died to all that. And you were in him because he took all that and he died to it. And you died to it in him. He didn't just die for you so that sin's penalty is paid for. He died as you. And his victory over your particular anger, because he took your particular anger or your particular lust or your particular greed or your particular pride, he took that to the cross and then he died to it. Raised up, it has no more impact on him. He's totally victorious over the sin he took to the cross. But his victory over that sin is your victory over that sin. Because you died to sin in his person. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "Thanks be to God, who continually gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's part of the finished work. It's such a comfort to me when I get hit, attacked, to give in to some attitude or sin, and I can stop and I can say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victory over this sin and its ability to control. And your victory is my victory because I died in you." Look what it says again in chapter 6, verse 2. "May it never be about sin, continue sinning. How should we who died to sin still live in it?" Verse 10, "For the death that he died to sin." When did I die to sin? When he did. Because he took me in his person. What's true about him is true about me. Now hear what he says again. "For the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives," now that's revival. Revival is you experiencing every day the life that he lives. Because you see, you're in him and he's in you. So the life that he lives is in you. You hear me? You're in him, therefore you've been plunged into his life. You're in him, and because you're in him, you put an open bottle into the ocean, the bottle's in the ocean, the ocean's in the bottle. Put a sponge in a tub or a sink full of water, sponge is in the water, water's in the sponge. You're in him, he's in you. And so the life that he lives, perpetually lives, he doesn't just live his life in heaven. The life that he lives, he's living it inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 13:5, don't you know that Christ lives in you, lest you be a phony? You're not a real Christian. What makes you a real Christian? Christ living inside of you. For the death that he died to sin once. That was your death to sin, too. But the life that he lives to God. How do you live a godly life? By faith, allowing the one who's living to God and does it supernaturally, love who lives inside of you, live it. The death that he died to sin once, but the life that he's living right now, he lives to God. Even so, okay, in light of that, even so, it's also true. Therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin. The death that he died to sin once. Therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin. The death that he died to sin once, but the life that he's living right now, he lives to God. Therefore, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. The life that he lives to God, but alive to God in Christ. Because you're in Christ, the life that he lives to God, you possess. The death that he died to sin once, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but a life living to God because you're in Christ. And it's all a gift. You didn't get opinion. You didn't get a vote on that. Nobody asked you if that's okay with you. The moment you became a Christian, that became true about you. And that's why Paul says, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? That sin's power over you has been broken. And so for every situation and for every circumstance I face, if I'm going to walk in internal perpetual revival, you with me? The genuine article from which the power of Jesus flows in signs and wonders to others. Not the phony revival that just is about miracles on the outside, but not knowing the miracle on the inside. Then you have to understand, for every situation and circumstance you face, I simply step back and go, Lord, thank you for the life that you live to God right now. Thanks. Because you see, faith doesn't beg. How many of you are begging God to do some stuff? Oh, God, please, please, please. It says, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. If you don't have substance, you don't have faith. What do you mean if I don't have substance, I have faith? You mean I got to have it in my hand? No, but you do have to have it in your heart as real. Because that which we see, according to Hebrews chapter 11, was created by that which we don't see. What he says is more real than what you see and touch. Right? You understand that? Everything you see and touch was created by something invisible. One time we flew into New York. We were doing this missions thing with Archbishop Bates and me and Scott Howard. And we were on the longest plane in the history of the world. And we were sitting in the back of it. It was like 12 blocks long. And when we flew in, by the time we got out to get to our luggage, it's like pretty much everybody was done. And we waited a few more minutes. The little light was going. And I kept going, no luggage, no luggage, no luggage. And I thought, okay, Lord, you're trying to teach me to believe you. That it'll even God, you'll do things even at the last minute. And then the light goes off, and there's no last minute anything. And the Lord said, I am trying to teach you something about faith. I said, okay. And so I thought, okay, we don't have luggage. We're in New York. It's really cold. I'm from Selma. This is scary, you know? And so I told Scott, I said, Scott, we have to go talk to the people, whatever airline it was. And Scott said, no, there's our luggage. And it had gotten off early. Though we were 12 blocks back in the back of the plane, It had gotten off early, and they had taken it off and stacked it in a corner because everybody's luggage was backing up. And the Lord said, what I'm trying to teach you is this. It was always there. Even though you couldn't see it, it was there. Faith is substance. Faith is substance. What he says is more real than anything else in the world, and you treat it like it's substance. You hold it and you have it in your heart. You'll eventually see it with your eyes, but that doesn't, faith doesn't make anything real. I love what he says here. Consider yourselves dead to sin, or in the King James Version, reckon yourself dead, a nice southern term. Dead to sin. And I have people all the time throughout the years I've ministered trying to, if I'll just consider myself, reckon myself dead to sin, I'll get dead to sin. Considering yourself dead to sin, believing that you're dead to sin, doesn't make you dead to sin. It's because you're dead to sin that you can believe yourself dead to sin. It's an accounting term. The word consider here is an accounting term. And the accounting term is this, is that you've got $1,000 in the bank. You can believe all day long you do or don't, but you've got $1,000 in the bank. Believing it doesn't make you have $1,000 in the bank. Believing it just allows you to draw from the $1,000, but it doesn't make you have $1,000. You can't believe yourself dead to sin. You died to sin in the person of Jesus. That's just true. So remember the thing we used to say years ago? We've been around, some of us, a long time together. So what does faith look like? It acts like, talks like it is so, when it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because you know it is so. He says it so. It's risky. No, it isn't, because it's based on truth. Is it daring? I guess, to our flesh. But every time you get hit, every time you get tempted, in every situation that you're facing, it causes you to feel threatened or inadequate, you just stop and go, Lord Jesus, thank you that you're my victory. I die. You don't have to go through all this, but this is the principle. Your death to this fear is my death to this fear. Your victory over this sin is my victory over this sin. You died to this particular fear in this particular situation. You died to it. It no longer has power over you because I'm in you and the life that you live to God's happening in me. I have victory over this. You did it. All I got to do is believe it. Isn't that how you got saved? Didn't he do it all? And you just believed it and received it? Colossians 2:6, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It's all based on what he's done. You hear me? And so when you give in to sin, and when you give in to fear in this situation or circumstance, it's because you forgot to remember that you have victory over that because your victory is in Christ. And you can simply rest in the life that he's living to God right now. So I come to a situation like this to speak. I've spoken a gazillion times. But there's still the temptation, Lord, what if I don't get it right? And I stop and I remember, Lord Jesus, your victory over fear is my victory over fear. And the life that you live to God is happening in me right now. Thanks, you're going to do it just right. And I allow Jesus to do what he wants to do. And if I blow it, what happens? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's conviction. And I go to him and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid for that one too. Now, once again, Lord, you're enthroned and you're on. And that's the Christian life. Not pleading faith, but resting faith. Risk it all on faith. Dare to believe it's true faith. But do I go through all that rigmarole and I pray those little prayers? No, I usually don't have time because it's coming at you fast and furious, right? I just say, thank you, Jesus, you're my victory over this sin. And every time you do that in faith, it becomes experientially yours. I died to it, and now you're living in me. You're my life. The life that you live to God, living to God, you're living it in me. And because we're one, remember the John 17? I'm in you, you're in me, it's mine. It's not about me living the Christian life, it's about you living the Christian life. And you can just do all the cool stuff you want to do. We were in Jinja as we kind of lock this up and move towards some ministry, encourage you. We were outside of Jinja. I think it was, well, I don't remember if it was the last church we went to. It was a CEC church that's kind of half built. There was no roof to it. But there were maybe 30 people there, really small. And we stopped to minister to them. And we noticed a group of maybe six women who came. There were six of them. They were all dressed up. We understood they were Muslims and what they had done. We found out later. They had come because they heard that people were getting healed in other places, and they were all sick. They thought we were a medical clinic. So they showed up, and so we do what we do. We just talked about the kingdom. But instead of trying to lead them to Christ, what we decided to do was just something different. So we just lined up and said, let's all get prayer. This is, people have been healed, yada, yada. Every one of those Muslim women got healed, and then every one of them gave their lives to Jesus. That's the life that Jesus lives. He lives his life in victory over sin's power in your life in the quiet places. Right? You want to know the fullness of Jesus when you're at home by yourself in the dark. Wife's gone to bed. You're flipping channels. Christ is your victory there. But dealing with six lost Muslims who are sick, he's also your victory there. You see, it's the life that he lives. It's not about whether you have a healing anointing or not. Of course you do. Jesus is your life. You with me? So yesterday afternoon we talked about living in the secret place. Today we talked about resting in your identity with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. As a matter of fact, not only did you die with him, buried with him, raised up with him as your very life, that's the newness of life, the resurrection life of Jesus, but you've also been ascended with him. You don't have to be afraid of demons, the devil. You share all the authority that Christ has, right? Amen. Well, may God give us ears to hear. Thank you for the life that Jesus lives. It's the most exciting life of all. Amen. Nothing more boring and nothing more discouraging than to try in your own strength to follow someone who's supernatural. Nothing more exciting than for someone supernatural to take up his residence inside of you and let him live his life through you. That's revival. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. What does we do now, David?
We're going to do something that we don't often do here. But not only did the Archbishop travel worldwide, but with this ministry, he travels a lot in the U.S. bringing this message. I think I heard the other day he would be in four places this year.
I think you were going to have some Jerry and all.
Jerry, where are we going to be this year with this ministry?
Here.
Stand up there. He's the administrator. There's a lot of expense and
In fact, with the team that's been here this week, we got off some.
Just supposed to like do background music, or do you want like a song?
Lord, have your way in me. Lord, give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
We confessed the creed, man, the wind started blowing. We knew that that was when we had accomplished victory and the demonic had been cleansed, because this declaration of what we believe, which the enemy hates, like a declaration of warfare. So let's confess the creed, amen?
Yeah.